This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. This ayah that I read at the very end of my introduction to the khutbah, this ayah will be recited all across the members of the world. Today, the week before, the week after, around the time of Ramadan, this particular ayah will be recited across the world, completely uncoordinated. No one coordinates this. But this happens because the month of Ramadan is upon us. And when the month of Ramadan is upon us, we just synchronize, all of us around the world, all the Muslims around the world, we synchronize completely in an uncoordinated, unplanned manner, and we focus back on the most important thing, which is our relationship with our Lord, and coming back and reevaluating that, and coming back and revisiting our spirituality, and looking at the core or tenets of our faith and being better. It doesn't matter how far you have been or how close you've been to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan is a time when everyone comes back, everyone revisits, and that is the beauty, that's the living miracle of this Sharia that we see across the world. It doesn't matter if it's in the Haram, it doesn't matter if it's in a place where there's very few Muslims, it's the very same idea worldwide. And it starts with this ayah, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Such a powerful experience. We live it every year, we see it every year. And every year it comes, it's like a reminder, here is your chance to show yourself that you can be better. That's what Ramadan is. It's here to show, we show ourselves that we can be better than the other 11 months that we pass by. That it is actually an opportunity where we can do a lot. We can not eat and not drink for the most important hours of the day when you're awake and working, when you're awake and studying. And then the time where you feel that you should be resting, you're not resting. You're in the masjid, praying. Long nights of prayer. This level of commitment, we do it, we show to ourselves we can do it. That's what Ramadan represents year in and year out. As we're about to enter Ramadan, I want to share with you five reasons that the Quran gives us for why we fast. It's important to understand this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about something, when He makes something legislated as part of our deen, He doesn't just say, do it, end of story. He provides reasons. He provides us reasons. Because we are people of rationale. As human beings, we are people who have rationale. We like to understand why we're doing something. And the Quran speaks to that, addresses that constantly. And this is how we should speak about Islam as well. Islam is not meant to be, this is what it is, close the book, close your eyes and follow. That's not what Islam is about. We always ask, why? Why am I doing it? Explain to me why. And once the why is clear, then everything else, the how and the what becomes easy. And this is what the ayat of fasting focus on. The fiqh of fasting is found in the hadith. The fiqh of fasting is found in the tradition. The why of fasting is found in the Quran. Because that's the most important part. In Surah Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayah number 183 to ayah 188. This is the passage that speaks about Ramadan. I encourage you to read this on your own. Read a translation. Watch a lecture on it to prepare yourself. But I'm going to give you some snippets, inshallah ta'ala, to help us understand and remind ourselves why we fast. Because once that understanding is renewed and set in, inshallah, we head into Ramadan to make it the best Ramadan of our lives. And that should be the goal every Ramadan. That you don't know how long you have on this world. You don't even know, I don't even know, if you're going to make it to Ramadan. This Ramadan. We have no guarantees of anything. We need to make every Ramadan as good as we can make it. Because there is no guarantee of anything else. There is no guarantee of anything else. Five reasons that are provided to us. Number one, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The first reason Allah gives is, O you who believe, fasting has been mandated upon you like it was mandated upon the nations before you, so that you can attain piety, so that you can attain taqwa. Reason number one. Quick tangent on the idea of previous nations fasting. You will find this in the traditions of the Christians and the Jewish traditions, that they also have fasting. They also mark important events with fasting. I was meeting with a Catholic chaplain recently who was fasting for Lent leading up to Easter. That's what they do. The Catholics particularly are very particular about it. But they also were not, because we were having lunch and he wasn't eating. So I asked him, is everything okay? And he explained to me that he's fasting for Lent. So it exists in other traditions as well. This is because the source of legislation is one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of legislation. He is the one who sent all the prophets. And they brought, you know, the same message. The message was not perhaps held on to. The message was perhaps altered. But the source of it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see that in the other sharia, in the other shara'i, we see that today, glimpses of it at least, not in the same way as we do it, but the glimpses are there even today. And that's what the Quran is referencing. And the reason why that is referenced, by the way, is important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking us to do something that is unprecedented, unheard of, just unthinkable. No, no, no. Others did it before you. You can do it as well. That's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is starting the conversation. But the reason number one, coming back to the reasoning, is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you can develop the quality of taqwa, of righteousness. Before I continue, if you can make some space for those of us who are coming in, just so they can have a seat. Just if you see an open spot in front of you, please come forward and fill that in. جَزَاكُمْ خَيْرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. What is taqwa? Taqwa is the ability to check ourselves. It is the ability to check if I am doing something wrong, can I stop myself in the middle of it and have a moment to recognize that this is not actually correct? That is what taqwa is in essence is. It is this ability to guard. It's very similar to, for example, if someone is walking in a place or driving down a road where there is potholes, or a road perhaps, or a track where there is some danger. Maybe there's like thorns. Maybe there is a ditch or something. So as they're walking, they're extra cautious. They're looking around to make sure that they don't fall into any of those pitfalls. They don't fall off a ditch or something. That behavior is what taqwa represents. Spiritually, what taqwa represents is we're able to stop ourselves from committing sins. That's what taqwa spiritually represents. How does fasting teach us that? How does fasting teach us to stop us from, how does it teach us to stop doing things that we're used to doing? Because when we fast, we give up the most basic necessities of life. Food and drinks. The most basic necessities of life, we stop that for hours. And not just one day, for 30 days we do this, for hours on. What that shows to us, we show ourselves that we can leave things that are halal. We can leave things that are necessities of life for extended periods of time. That means that we can leave things that are haram as well. That we can break habits that are haram. We can leave things that are not necessities of life. That's what fasting shows us. That's what taqwa in its absolute core is. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And it's mentioned as the first reason here in the passage, because this is the most obvious benefit of fasting. And this is, by the way, what Ramadan comes and teaches us. It shows us there's a distinction between what you want and what you need. I want my coffee in the morning when I start work, and I want a second cup when it's lunchtime. I want a third cup when it's the end of the day. That's what I want. A lot of us want that. For a lot of us, this is like a very difficult thing to give up. But what I need is much less. What I need is suhoor and iftar. That's what my body can survive on. And not just survive, actually thrive on. That's when Ramadan comes and shows us. It's kind of scary to find out this much detail about yourself. As a human beings, we don't want to wade into these uncharted waters. But Ramadan almost forces us to confront that. And that brings about the quality of taqwa. Now I can start to see, this is needed, this is not needed. This is a necessity, this is a want. And evaluate them in the context of, is this permissible or not? Is this a good thing for me or a bad thing? That is what taqwa represents. That's number one. Number two. وَأَن تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Fasting is good for you. This is in ayah number 184. Fasting is good for you. Khair is an all-encompassing word in Arabic. Good in every way. It's used in all connotations. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. The night of power has more goodness than 1,000 months. It's used wasulhu khayr, when two parties, a husband and a wife, are about to break apart. If they're able to reconcile, there's a mediator, an arbiter who comes in and helps them reconcile. Allah says that reconciliation is khayr. The word is used for everything. Khayr, all good things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says fasting is good for you. وَانْتَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. In every way, fasting is good for us. It's good for our spirituality, as I just spoke about. It develops taqwa. You start to see what you need versus what you want. You start to realize you can break bad habits. You can break them. You can leave evil. You can leave things that are not permissible. It's possible. That's what we show ourselves. It's good for our physical self. If you look at the one of the biggest problems we have is overconsumption. We consume until we basically eat ourselves to the hospital. That's what we do quite often. Eat and eat until we develop all types of diseases and then we're in the hospital getting treatment. Fasting shows us you can actually live on much less. That's actually the point, to show you can live on much less. Fasting should not be turned into, Ramadan should not be turned into a month of eating. Even though we eat together, we enjoy a meal together, we enjoy iftar together, that's beautiful, that's nice, it brings the community together. It's not the point of fasting or Ramadan to celebrate our food. It's to celebrate not eating food. It's to celebrate that we can actually be, you can live on less. That's what it's celebrating if you want to go strictly from a perspective of consumption. It's good for the soul, it's good for the body, it's good for the community. We come together in Ramadan like we never come together outside of Ramadan, in other circumstances. In every way, Ramadan brings us good. وَأَنْتَصُومُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It's good for the people who need help and the people who want to help. This is the one that people open up their hearts, they open up their pockets, they find it in themselves to give and give more and give even more. And you see that. I don't have to give you examples of that. You see this year in and year out. Records are set every year of philanthropy. The number of zakat or the amount of zakat donated every year breaks a record. Because the Muslims are willing to give, are happy to give. It's the month of giving. In all aspects is khair. وَأَنْتَصُومُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to realize that by going through it. Number three. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسَّرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ease for you. He does not want difficulty for you. Allahu Akbar. Think about this for a second. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, you can't eat from dawn to dusk. You can't drink, not even water. When your non-Muslim colleague asks you, you can tell them that. Not even water. You're going to go thirsty. You're not fasting at night, right? You're not fasting at night where, imagine a scenario where you were fasting at night and not fasting during the day. That would be a lot easier, right? You can just sleep through the fast. But that's not what Allah is asking us to do. He's like, no, you fast during the day when you're working, when you're at school, when you're meeting people. That's when you're fasting. And that's how you realize what ease is. Allah wants easy things that are easy for you. It almost seems that it's contradictory. But here is the important realization that needs to happen. You cannot recognize ease until you know hardship. You won't appreciate what ease is until you've seen hardship. You will not understand privilege until you've seen adversity. It doesn't work that way. You have to experience the opposite of something for to appreciate the thing that you have. This is at the core of everything that we have. Life, we appreciate life because we understand the opposite of life is death. We understand that if everything was alive and everyone was alive, we won't have any appreciation for life because we don't have the concept of the opposite. We appreciate the spring. We appreciate the sun being out because we know what it's like when it's gloomy and cold. The opposite teaches us the value of the other opposite. Yuridullahu bikum al-yusr. Allah SWT wants us to experience the hardship of fasting, therein recognizing the ease that we live our lives by. Recognizing then how much potential we have as people, how perhaps our consumption is holding us back. It's like a crutch that is, you know, maybe limiting our potential. It shows us, Ramadan, the fasting of Ramadan shows us that life is not as hard for us living as privileged people. It develops empathy in us. Look at these people who are not eating because they can't eat. They don't have anything to eat. They're in that situation. Now you understand that at a very, very deep level. That empathy develops. Yuridullahu bikum al-yusr, wala yuridu bikum al-usr. The intent of fasting is not to make us miserable. The intent of it is to show us that this is a glimpse of what hardship is. Now when you go back to your life after iftar and after Ramadan, now you know firsthand what difficulty and ease is like. أَقُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ وَالْغَفُرُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وملا أما بعد. Reason number 4. وَلِتُكْفِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. So that you may, this is in ayah number 185, so that you may complete the iddah, the prescribed number of fasts. وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. And so that you may glorify Allah for that He had guided you. This is literally done when we recite the takbir on the day of Eid. And it is done also in meaning, metaphorically, that we praise Allah and we glorify Him that He has guided us to doing what we are doing in Ramadan. There is a ritualistic aspect that is present in Ramadan that this ayah is providing us the reason for. وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةِ. You complete the ritual fasting of 29 or 30 days. You do that. It's a way that we show our submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about our rituals, our prayer. Can you pray whenever you want? I mean, outside of the fard, you can pray whenever you want. But the fard, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. It's at specific times. There's a window of time. You must pray at that time. Why? Because it's showing to us and our Lord that our submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on His terms, not on our terms. We worship Him on His terms. That's what submission is. That's what worship is. وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةِ. Allah says 29 days or 30, the month, we say لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ. We say, yes Allah, we will do it. Submission on His terms. This is one of the most powerful ideas of ritualistic worship that we have. That we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We worship Him, not when we want, how we want, according to our whims and desires. No, we do it as He wants it, as He has legislated it. And this is part of fasting. And finally, وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you can be grateful. So you can be grateful. And you here is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using kum for you all the believers here. That's why I keep using the same pronoun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the reasons of fasting by mentioning gratefulness. Because when you have that iftar, that date at iftar, and the food that you eat at iftar, the sense and the feeling of gratitude is so profound. It's so profound. It's amazing. The feeling on Eid, when we reach the end of the iddah, the prescribed months, we did what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us. We submitted ourselves to Him as He mandated. The feeling of joy is very pure. That gratitude is very, very pure. This is why the Messenger of Allah said, لِصَائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ يَفْرَحُهُمَا. The person who is fasting has two unique moments of joy. Number one, when they end their fast at Maghrib time. And number two, when they meet their Lord. SubhanAllah. The joy of fasting, the gratitude that comes at that moment brings it all together. This is what the month of Ramadan is bringing for us, brothers and sisters. It's bringing for us an opportunity to show our gratitude and to truly recognize what gratitude and thankfulness to Allah means. It's bringing an opportunity for us to submit to Him on His terms. It's bringing for us an opportunity of good, of all types of good. If you're gaining weight in Ramadan, I'm sorry to say, you've lost the plot a little bit. If you're overeating in Ramadan, you've lost the plot a little bit. If you're not experiencing even a moment of pain, of there's a little bit of hunger, there's a little bit of thirst, and that you have to, your mind has to be strong enough to get over that, you're missing the plot that has to be experienced. That has to be experienced, because that's good. Through that you understand what is actual ease and what's actual difficulty and how much capacity we have to take on things that are difficult. And finally, of course, the end goal of fasting is taqwa, spiritual development, where we can now show to ourselves we can be better. We can be better. We can leave things that are haram. We can leave haram habits. We can leave things that are evil. We can reform ourselves to be better because we just did it for 30 days in a row. That is what Ramadan is presenting us an opportunity for. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma balighna Ramadan ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, allow us to reach Ramadan. Allahumma, O Allah, allow us to make the most of Ramadan. O Allah, allow us this Ramadan for us to be the best Ramadan of our lives. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Inna Allahumma malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin fil awwalina fil akhirin. Wa salli ala Muhammadin fil mala'il a'la ila yawmiddin. Allahumma ahina ala sunnatihi wa mitna ala millatihi. Wahshuna في زمنته واسقنا من حوضه يا رب العالمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Our Lord, we ask you to send your prayers and blessings upon our Prophet Sallam. We ask you to allow us to live and die like him. We ask you to allow us to be resurrected with him on the day of judgment. And we ask you to allow us to be with him in Jannah. We ask you, O Allah, that you give us the best in this world and the best in the next world, and that you deliver us from the fire of hell. Ameen. Waqimu Salam.